Back to My Garden, episode 64.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
Do you love homegrown tomatoes? Free Report reveals the 5 dirt cheap tools I use to grow 22 types of heirloom tomatoes, including my secret soil booster. Download your copy for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/freereport. Can you really grow an incredible garden powered by fish? Find out the secrets to building fish-powered gardens and aquaponics at www.backtomygarden.com/fish. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another edition of Back to My Garden. We got a great show for you today, folks. Our guest, Scott, his passion for gardening started with a single tomato 26 years ago. Now, with the possible exception of eggplants, Scott loves growing vegetables. He's a brilliant blogger, a great gardening book author, and he loves sharing his gardening wisdom. Please welcome to the show from New Hampshire, Scott Poirier. Hi, Scott.
Well, hello, Dave. Good to be on the show with you.
Excited to have you. Now, thanks. I gave you a very brief introduction. I want to hear your story, and our guests want to get to know you as well. Can just take a minute or two for all the people listening around the world. Tell us a little bit about your background, Scott, and how did you get into gardening?
Sure. Actually, I feel compelled to say, hey, this is Scott with GottaGrowIt.com, because like every video I do, I start with that line, and somehow that it just pours out of me whenever I start talking gardening. So, all right, so I got that out of the way. So, my story, I got to tell you, my story of gardening, I think really kind of goes, it goes way back. I remember years ago discovering the meaning of my last name. My last name is Poirier. It's a French name. And come to find out, it means like pear tree or pear grove. And I think somewhere in my lineage, I guess some of these Poiriers were, you know, cultivating pears and dealing with pears. In other words, they were growing things. And so I'm not surprised that I have this somewhere in my genes, this desire to be outside and, you know, growing things, pretty much anything that grows out of the soil. What's interesting about all that, though, is that there's no immediate family around me that's ever put anything in the soil on purpose, you know, where they would grow anything. So I don't really know when it all happened, you know, where my eyes just opened up and I realized, wow, I just love to, you know, experience pretty much anything that grows. And so, you know, my first experience really with growing goes back to when I was in junior high school of all times. I mean, you know, you would think that maybe math would have stood out like, yeah, that would be the place I'd want to, you know, excel. But surprisingly, it wasn't, you know. But we had this what was called greenhouse day each week. And here I was, you know, 12 years old and going into this greenhouse and was fascinated with the smells and the soil and the containers that held the soil, all the stuff that, you know, that you see in a greenhouse. And we got to handle all this stuff. We got to, you know, experiment with some seeds and things like that. And I got to tell you, my imagination just soared and took off with, wow, this is great stuff. Unfortunately, after junior high school, there was no real any other exposure, you know, to working the soil. I was a city boy. We really didn't have access to any real soil where I could do anything. And it wasn't really encouraged either, but that was just the case. But then, you know, we sort of fast forward. My wife and I are in our 20s and we get our first home. And I remember that first summer that we were in the home. Actually, it was really the first spring. I was a little voyeuristic, you know. I was in my backyard, which was really a yard of weeds. It wasn't a very big plot, but a yard of weeds. And I remember looking over my neighbor's fence. This lady's name was Carol. Carol became, you know, my best friend for the next 15 years as we lived in that house, you know. But I'd always peek over her fence, and she just had the most beautiful garden I had ever seen. And that's what motivated me to plant that very first tomato that year, the first year that we were in this house. So I went to like a local nursery or something like that and decided I'm going to go ahead and grab a beefsteak tomato. I love beefsteak tomatoes, you know. So I thought I'd grab that and had no sense whatsoever about what to do with soil. I literally dug a hole, I think with my foot or something, and just stuck the plant in there, you know, and would just go out there every day and try to nurture this thing the best that I could. And that's the beginning. That's, you know, it happened that first year. I expected, you know, 2-3 pound tomatoes. I got what appeared to be a slightly oversized cherry tomato. It was mealy. It really didn't taste good, but I ate it, man. I mean, I nurtured this thing for months and I ate it and I made a decision then. I got to do something different. And that's where the journey began.
Wow. Fantastic, Scott. You've given us a lot to work with. Scott and I are going to sit back and chat about gardening. Now, we have listeners who are in rush hour traffic right now, Scott, listening to us. So don't take notes. I have a red pen out. I'm taking notes on everything Scott shares. Make sure when you get home or when you get access to a computer, head over to Twitter and follow Scott on social media at Gotta Grow It. Brilliant handle. And he got the domain name at www.gottagrowit. That's GOTTAGROIT.com. Scott, we have educators and teachers listening to this podcast. You're living proof that Greenhouse Day made an effect, right?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Dave, just one correction on the Gotta Grow It. You had said GOTTAGROIT. There's a W in there. So it's the word grow with a W. Yeah, gotta that, grow it.
I can't spell too good.
That's right.
I'm type with four fingers and two of them need spell check.
That's all good.
Good. So Greenhouse Day. Your living embodiment that a program like that can make a difference.
Absolutely. Yes. And I tell you, especially for young people, we need something that, you know, that we're going to gravitate to that really does excite you. You know, and I think more than ever, I think our young people need that. So Greenhouse Day for me was big. Yeah.
And then it started with a single tomato that you that you dug with the most scientific of tools, the foot. That's great.
Yeah.
How did it escalate from there? Did you jump into the pool with both feet or a little each year?
Well, that's kind of my personality. And, you know, if you can't sense the energy over this podcast, then, you know, go check out some of my videos and you'll see the energy. I tend to dive into the pool, you know, head first for sure. And so, it really didn't take long to say, okay, I gotta rethink all of this. This is where my relationship with my neighbor, Carol, was, you know, forged for a lifetime. I mean, I think of Carol often. She really taught me a lot. And so I would just ask a lot of questions. And I think that's a big part of gardening. You got to ask. You can't make the stuff up. You can't just assume that, oh, if I do this, it's just going to work out. You got to ask questions, especially, you know, people who have real experience. And I was so motivated looking at Carol's yard. I mean, I would be up on the second floor of my house. She didn't know this, by the way. We'll keep this between us. But I'd be up on the second floor and I'd peek out those windows and I'd look down at her garden, mostly out of jealousy at first. But I thought, oh, man. And it just motivated me and encouraged me that I could do more than what I did with that, you know, very small beefsteak tomato in 1987, I guess it was. Hmm. I dove in head first.
Now, you've been
made a lot of mistakes.
Well, okay, I thank you. I was going to ask you about that because people see you now, 25 years later. You're very experienced. Newbies and rookies and beginners, they're always afraid of the mistakes. Can you share, and this is optional, a catastrophic disaster you had in the garden that perhaps now you can look back humorously on?
Well, the catastrophic disaster was the first year. I don't know that I would have anything in that category where I'd like lost my whole garden. From year to year, it just always seemed like there was something. as a little bit of advice for gardening, you know, the first year in a lot of ways tends to be, or at least the first year in breaking ground, new ground tends to be a pretty forgiving year. But the bugs and the disease will find you out within the next year or so, and then there's a lot of learning that's going to take place. But failure is really your friend, and I want to get, you know, too much into the psychology of all that, but really the failure in gardening actually really does help you to learn by growing. In fact, philosophically, that's my whole movement. That's the everything that I'm trying to say to people is the best way to learn to grow is to just get out there and start growing, which means you're going to embrace some of the either mistakes or failures that happen. You put a lot into something and maybe a disease comes in, it wipes it out, or a particular bug comes in and wipes it out. The value of that, though, is that you learn that, oh, there is that bug out there. And I need to find out, you know, how to deal with that particular bug. That's why you want to be in conversation with other people, excuse me, you know, who have experience or maybe expose yourself. You can go online. You can find some of this stuff as well. So that's really – I don't know that there's one big event where, oh, my goodness, I got up one day and my garden was gone. You know, I lose a leaf on my garden and I get emotional like, oh, no, something's here. You know, so I really get pretty intense with it. So.
Very good. You had mentioned your YouTube videos. Everyone should go to your blog today and go to Grow It. You have links to, I guess you've changed hats. You're not just a gardener now, you're also a teacher.
No.
With the videos, I mean.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, of course, Dave. I'm a teacher as well. That's right. Exactly.
What's that journey been like for you when you shot your first gardening video, when you wrote your first gardening blog to now?
Yeah, you know, I think as each time that I do it, I think I've gotten more confident with just not really playing the teacher role, just being myself and just letting it out and talking to anyone that's willing to listen in as if we were sitting on the edge of my garden anyway. And so I think just over time, I think I've been able to get a clearer voice to just say, hey, let me just share it with you. Let me just be me in the process of this. And it's been a very natural thing for me to set up the camera. Most of the time, I'm just setting the camera up in there. Sometimes I press my wife to follow me around the garden a little bit, but I'm just doing the natural, let me just tell you, you know, what's going on in this moment in my garden. And it seems like it's been beneficial for people to listen in on that, to see, you know, firsthand, real garden, real stuff, and here's a response. You know.
Excellent. And people vote with their eyeballs on YouTube. What do they like? What are they watching? What seems to be getting some good reception?
Yeah. Now, and again, you know, I'm very new to social media. I feel like, you know, if we can compare it to gardening, you know, I mean, I've only been doing this for just a few months. So it's like I've been drinking water from a fire hydrant. You know, it's just like, wow, there's just so much to consider about how you get the word out and how you, you know, can use, you know, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube to just begin to, you know, connect with people. So I'm at the very, very beginning of that. And so I'm humbled by it. You know, I guess in my mind, it was like that first year with that tomato plant. I thought, oh, I'm going to stick the plant out there and I'm going to get my 3-pound tomatoes and all my neighbors are going to bring their children over to look at it. You know, well, that didn't happen. I had that little cherry tomato thing. Well, I think it's the same way in these first few months. You know, I came in with an expectation that, hey, I'm going to throw this video out and I'll have, you know, 50,000 views going, wow, that's so awesome. Well, that didn't happen simply because I've been trying to figure out how to get into the network of YouTube so that there is exposure. The feedback I'm getting, at least, from people has been very positive in that they seem to enjoy the energy. They enjoy the perspective, the information. So I haven't gotten anything negative anyway, you know. So that's kept me motivated to keep figuring out how to use these social media outlets to be able to communicate and share.
Fantastic. It is one big global community. So folks, follow Scott on Twitter at Gotta Grow It. And you can see all of his links on his blog at gottagrowit.com. Now, Scott, I want to know what your garden was like this season. What brought you the most joy, and did anything frustrate you or surprise you?
Ah, it's great. Multiple questions there. I got to tell you, the garden was just absolutely awesome this year. And most years, I think I can say that I've been surprised, you know, by things from year to year. But this year was just man, I felt like I was working time and a half. Just an explosive garden. I was a little nervous coming into the season because we were pretty cool up here in the Northeast. This was one of the cooler, drier seasons. But I think dryer in this case was actually pretty helpful for me because I do a micro drip system on about maybe 85% of my garden, and I garden about. And I'm, you know, I was processing through this week about the square footage. I didn't actually get out there and measure, but and looking at it and processing it a bit, I think I'm, you know, somewhere around 1600 to 1800 square feet. So I can grow a lot of stuff in that, you know, much land. So I think the dry season actually was helpful this year because of the micro drip system that I've been using. So I was really able to control the moisture, and that proved to be beneficial. So to answer that first question, absolutely, you know, mind blowing. Like, oh my goodness, I could hardly keep up with the produce in the garden. I guess a surprise that I had this year, and I'm trying to remember all your questions you asked. There was about five there, Dave, so you might have to remind me. But one of the, I guess, a disappointment that I had, although, you know, for my wife and I, we certainly had enough summer squash to eat. But I like to have, you know, summer squash coming out everywhere so I can share it and I can take pictures of it and I can eat it and fry it and do whatever, you know. And it seemed to struggle this year, and I'm not really sure why. It was one of my better years by way of dealing with one of my nemesis, the squash bug. I dream about the squash bug. I officially hate the squash bug with every fiber of my being. And this year, I was pretty good at doing a lot of hand picking early in the season, and I was able to control it. I wouldn't say to eradicate them, but I was able to control it. And yet, the summer squash really was lacking. I'm trying to remember some of your other questions.
What brought you the most joy?
Well, I'm a tomato gardener, I guess, above everything else, because we eat tomatoes. We eat tomato-based stuff all the time. And I'm going to be boring, I guess, with the tomatoes. I'm guessing 5 years from now, you'd say, so, you know, what brought you the most joy? My tomatoes. It's about the tomatoes, Dave. I guess at the end of the day, it's tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Are you a pick-it-and-eat-it kind of guy? Do you do any canning?
Oh, my goodness, yeah, canning. The house is filled. Yeah, I planted, I think I did about, I guess I did 98 tomato plants this year. You know, different variety with some cherry tomatoes, beefsteak type, plum, San Marzano, early girls. Yeah, just all kinds of different tomatoes. And so I do two different kinds of canning. I do I use the plum style and the San Marzanos for tomato sauce. And so, you know, I do just oodles of that. I guess total this year for canning on just tomatoes alone, I think I did like 150 quarts, and I just had to give up. I'm like, okay, I got to stop. And we won't eat 150, but we'll eat about maybe 70 or so. But you know, my daughter travels up from Tennessee, and she always has an empty box. Let me put it that way. So she's grabbing stuff, and then, you know, neighbors and people we know and care about, we're like, well, here's a can of tomatoes, you know. So I share a lot of that stuff as well.
Whoa, Scott, we got a lot of hobby gardeners with little patio gardens in their condos in the big cities. So you just melted some minds, 150 jars.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
And I gave away a lot of tomatoes on top of that. I mean, I didn't like process every one of them. So, you know, yeah.
I want to take you on to some thin ice here. I know you have a non-favorite vegetable called the eggplant.
Ooh, and yeah. Now,
our friends in Europe, that's the aubergine.
Yeah.
Can you comment on, is it just something you don't like, or did you once get hit with one? What happened?
Well, you know, I knew I took a risk when I wrote my book, Grow It. And I really wrestled with this. Do I really fess up that I've got a problem with eggplant? And I figured, you know what, I better stick with the honesty line and go, I better just tell them right up front. I better not fake it, because I just know that someday I'm going to run into someone and they're going to have, you know, eggplant for me, and I'm not going to be able to choke it down. I mean, there's just no way. I'd eat a pine cone before I would eat eggplant. And it's interesting, because there are a lot of vegetables that I really do like. I mean, even if you fried the stuff, I wouldn't eat it. It's just there's a consistency thing with it. I guess that's the only thing I can say. And I've got people around me that are like, oh, but you would love my eggplant. And I'm like, all right, I mean, fine, force it on me. And they do it all kinds of ways. And I'm telling you, I can't choke the stuff down. I can't do it. Sorry, folks.
Hey, Honesty is the best policy.
Eggplant, though. I've actually grown eggplant, though, but believe it or not. It's an absolutely beautiful plant. Remember, at the end of the day, I just love to see anything grow. So if an eggplant plant is gorgeous. It has beautiful leaves with, you know, those purple tones and the different shapes of different kinds of eggplant. So I've actually grown them in my garden, and then I give them all away.
Now, you've written a brilliant book. I want to ask you a two-part question. What was it like writing it? And is the best place to get it on your blog, or how do you prefer to get customers?
Yeah, actually, and so it's not officially a blog that I have. What it is, it's really my website, and it's very easy to go over to the website. And there are three options that you can have when you click on my ebook. That's the little, you know, icon that you'll see to the left on the website. And you can order it through Amazon, you can order it through iBooks, or you can download it as a PDF. And there's a, you know, I have a book cover design and everything that you'll see when you get there to take a look at it. So you have those three options. So it really depends on how you want it. If you've got a particular reader that you favor, that you prefer Amazon or iBooks, by all means, or you get the PDF through the website as well.
And what was it like writing that book for you? What was the experience?
Absolutely a joy. You know, I've never written a book, and I've done a lot of writing, but I've never written a book. And I thought, man, this is going to be maybe a big task. I got to tell you. The social media, figuring out the social media is the big task because there's so much to consider. And you really got to open yourself up to trying to figure out how do you connect and relate and, you know, jump into this community. The book was the easiest thing for me to write. And I really didn't think that was going to be the case. I really processed it at first going, I wonder how hard this will be. I wrote it in no time. The book is motivated by that there is some how-to, but that's really not the main premise of the book. It's not really about let me take you step by step by step. In my mind, a step by step by step is like reading a book on how to ride a bike. I mean, at some point, I mean, it's just not going to work. At some point, you just got to get out there. And so, I think that my book is more philosophically charged, with a lot of energy, some story. I really work, you know, personal story and what it looks like to open yourself up to the garden. I share my mistakes. There's some humility in some of that, but I share all of that. And it was a joy, I'm telling you, from beginning to end to write this book. And I have others in mind that I can't wait to get them out there.
Let's take a quick minute to thank our sponsors and then come back and play five quick questions. Toxic chemicals, GMOs, frankenfood. Don't panic. Grow organic. Discover my new resource for organic gardening at www.backtomygarden.com/myorganic. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most amazing garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from amazing gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Fantastic. You know, Scott, I just glanced at the clock. Our time is rapidly whipping by, and now's the time in the show where we play a game called Five Quick Questions. This is your chance to share your wisdom and experience with novice gardeners. Are you ready to play?
Oh, I'm holding my breath when I'm ready.
Good. Question number one, excuses. What do you think stops most people from trying gardening?
Well, there are, I know there's more than one because it was some of the stuff that I think I wrestled with a little bit at first in thinking about all this. And for me, you know, when I processed that very, well, it wasn't the first garden. The first garden was just that one plant. But the second garden, when I jumped in, I realized there's going to be an expense. And so I think expense can really be a big issue for some folks because they're thinking, I got to buy a plant, I got to get stuff from my soil, I got to buy fertilizers, I got to do all this stuff. So I think that's a big part of it. As I'm now processing this real quickly here in the podcast, probably the biggest thing for most people is fear of, I really don't know how to do this. Which is why I'm excited because I think, and I'm not perfect in it by any stretch of the imagination, but I've had some exposure. I have some experience with it. And I'm thrilled that if there's anybody that's going, I don't know if I know how to do this, man, I want your attention. I want your ear. I want your heart. And I want to motivate you to say, oh, yes, you can. It's in us to do this. So, but I think that's probably the bigger fear for most people is I'm not sure that I really know what I'm doing. So maybe I shouldn't.
Beautiful. And in Scott's case, it started with a single tomato that he dug into the ground with the toe of his boot.
Yeah, I did.
Question number two is, what is the best gardening advice that you've ever received?
I remember thinking about that question as well. So, there are several, but for me, really, the biggest garden advice I've received has everything to do with soil. See, I was so motivated with plant, produce, eat, and realized that it's really about the soil. And the first bits of advice really had a lot to do with compost. And so that really set me on a pretty good track to begin to really think about how do you create this living organism in the soil. I got to tell you, I mean, I'm looking out my window right now talking to you all, and I'm looking at my garden, and I know it's starting to sleep now because we're late fall, but I'm telling you, the thing's pulsating. I can see it breathing. It is alive. It really is. I've put a lot into this soil over the years, and has everything to do with good composting and good materials that you put into your soil.
Excellent. Question three. Can you think of one or two websites that you like related to gardening or gardening resources that you'd like to share?
Yeah. And I thought about that too and thought, well, I got to just fess up with there really isn't any like one individual or just a couple individuals that stand out so much that I'm finding myself going to their page on, you know, what I might need to know about some gardening. I'm voyeuristic online as well. I mean, I'm peeking in all the time. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter. By the way, Twitter is a great place to go. There is a huge gardening community on Twitter, and I've enjoyed getting to know some people on there. And so I would say get out there and get social. It just reminds me of if you were in a community with other growers around you, you'd start talking to them about what do you do here and what do you do there. I'd say get into like a Twitter format and get into some of these forums, these gardening forums, and just take it in. And I think there are certain individuals that stand out that you know, they're experienced, they're authentic, they'll engage you in conversation. That's what you're looking for. And I think that would be a great way to learn some good skills, people that you trust through some social networking.
Mm. As a tangent, as an aside, how did you build your micro drip or did you buy it? What was the story there? Your micro drip?
Yeah, so, you know, actually, I was exposed to this by a farmer friend of mine. And we were talking about different, you know, growing different things. And I was trying to do some additional growing where I wanted to bring some things into the inner city area where I live. And so we were talking through some stuff and he shared a bunch of stuff with me. By the way, another little side note, this was the guy that this year was really showing a lot on social networking, this scorpion pepper. First time I exposed to the scorpion pepper, blew my face off. These peppers did incredible. It was this farmer guy that said, oh, you like hot peppers, do you? And he gave me this plant and said, go ahead and plant this in your garden and we'll talk later. So it was anyway. So in the process of talking to this guy and talking about my parcel of land and all, he said, let me show you this micro drip system that we use. And it's a farming system. And, you know, in the long run, I think the price will pay off. It costs a little bit upfront for me to do this. I would certainly encourage a new gardener I think it would shock you if you're a new gardener. I'd go small and slow. But if you really, you know, want to excel, this micro drip system, I will do this to the day I die. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it any other way. It's a great system.
Fantastic. It struck me right away. You know, I go, ooh, I don't have one of those yet. That sounds cool. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
I'm going to look it up. Scorpion pepper. Yeah, I'm a fan. They're not for the light of heart, though. They are. They're intense.
No, they're not. You will lose weight eating scorpion peppers.
I knew I was in trouble when my ears started to sweat.
Well, I'm sorry, what's that again?
When my ears started to sweat with the scorpion.
Yeah. You know it's serious when that happens.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Question four. Can you recommend a gardening book?
Yeah, so I went and pulled out this old book. I've never gotten rid of it. I haven't looked at it in some time, just because I think, you know, again, I've been set on a pretty good track to, you know, continue to learn by growing, and I really want to push that. You learn to grow by growing. It's the same way that you learn how to ride a bike. You learn to ride a bike by riding a bike. There's something really philosophical about that. But for those of you that are newbies, or maybe you've experimented a year or two and you're not sure, it's just an old book that I bought. It had to have been late 80s. I think this book might have even been written in the early 80s, but it's called, and it was a staple back then. I mean, it was what was available on the shelves, but it's called The Joy of Gardening. And what I like about it is that there are a lot of pictures. It's not this exhaustive, you know, let's give you all the horticultural names for absolutely everything that there could possibly be that could ever happen to your garden. You basically get some really good pictures and some good commentary about this guy by the name of Dick Raymond. He's just good. It's simplistic, and I don't mean simplistic where it's not significant. It's very significant. He's got good beginning advice to get you out there in the soil and to start growing. So I don't even know if that's available online. I would imagine it is today, but that was a book that really sent me in the right direction. And I found it on my bookshelf. I still have it. So I'm looking at it right now in my hand.
Dynamite. And folks, for those of you driving, I'll have links up in the show notes on the blog for both Scott's book as well as The Joy of Gardening. Question five is a fun one. Scott, is there something that you've been itching to try in your garden next season? Or what's something you think every novice should try to grow next season?
Oh, I don't know if I can do the or. I'm going to do it quicker. I'm going to give both, okay?
Okay, sure.
So I'm thinking, like, I really, really want – I've never grown asparagus before. And I think part of the reason why is that I know it's going to take a couple of 3 years to really get it established enough for me to really get, you know, a crop from it. And so I'm itching toward that. Hopefully I can get to it next year and go, I'm going to put those asparagus roots in the ground and get it going. And the other one that I want to grow, and I've never done it before, is parsnips. Partly because I want to say the word parsnips. I love that word. I just like the way it sounds. But there's something about this white-looking carrot that's very appealing to me. So I'm definitely going to do parsnips this coming spring. Something to experiment with. I was exposed to this plant called shiso, S-H-I-S-O. I mean, even if you didn't want to eat it, if you just wanted to grow something that looks absolutely stunning in the garden, it's shiso. This is a Japanese herb. It has these deep purples on the backside of the leaf. And then the top side of the leaf is green. It's a little hardier, a little thicker than your typical basil would be. But you would almost use it in the same way you'd use basil. For me, I've got a taste for pretty much anything Asian. I love Asian food. And with this Japanese herb, I put it in stir fries. It has these undertones of black licorice, which I'm not a fan of. I don't like black licorice. But I'm a fan of Thai food, and there's some Thai foods that really like Thai basil, and Thai basil has those undertones of black licorice as well. It just gives another incredible layer to the flavor in some of these Asian dishes. I'm sure you would enjoy it if you like that sort of thing, and it's a beautiful plant, and it grows like a weed. I mean, this thing just grows. It's unbelievable what you don't have to do to get this thing to grow.
Awesome. You just won some fans because they love the unusual. They don't want to be boring go. In their garden.
There you go.
Shiso.
Right. Shiso. It's good stuff.
Very good. You know, folks, we're winding down here, but make sure you follow Scott on Twitter at GottaGrowIt. Go to his site at www.gottagrowit.com. Check out his book as well and recommend it to a friend. We got the holidays, and gardeners can never have enough gardening books, just like cooks. Scott, you've been an incredible guest. The time has flown by. I want to give you the last word today. Can you leave our listeners with either a pearl of wisdom or a note of encouragement?
Sure. I don't be shy of making a mistake. I think that's what all this is about. Once you make the mistake or there's a failure, there's a lot of learning that takes place there. But more than anything else, just open yourself up. Just get out there. It's incredible what gardening can do to kind of keep our feet on the ground, pun intended, to just keep us, you know, stable. I guess it's really a good thing to be out there, to be outside, to breathe the air, to hear the birds, to work that soil. There's something about, you know, opening yourself up to the garden that I think brings an incredible amount of significance to just day-to-day living. There's a lot of lessons in the garden to learn about humanity, I think. So hold on to that. Get out there and grow. I'm telling you, you can do it.
Dynamite. Thanks, Scott. You've been an awesome guest.
Thank you so much, Dave. Good to be with you.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. All of the links, resources, and websites mentioned will be posted at backtomygarden.com/64. Please come to the website, click share, and help us share the message of gardening with millions of people. Have an incredible day. Happy gardening.